Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
A complete sweep of the Mariners. Friday, the Astros win 5-2, Saturday 3-1, and Sunday, even without the best hitter on the team, Yordan Alvarez, the Astros win 8-5. It was a true team win. You had a little Altuve action in Peña back-to-back. You had some machete action in there. It was a great weekend for the Stros. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes, the best producer in the game, is behind the glass as always. And we've been having a little bit of a debate throughout the show. As many of you know from social media, or in case you've been listening for the entire show, Paul worked in Seattle for 2 years in between his stops in Houston. So yes. He was in Houston 8 years, Seattle 2 years, and now obviously he's back in Houston. And decided to break my rule, which is that you can only wear a split jersey or a split shirt from two teams if you A, have children on both teams, or B, the Laura Quinn Hawk rule, her brother Brady Quinn for Ohio, for Notre Dame, her boo thing that turned into her husband AJ Hawk from Ohio State.
Boo thing.
So if you have a boo on one team and a relative on another,
boo thing sounds like a side piece, though.
Yeah, well, it was
like the Mariners are to me.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. You don't qualify for either one of those because you don't have children on both teams.
I do.
And unless I don't know something about you, you don't have
Julio
lovers
Rodriguez
on either
is my
team.
Son.
Now, I could be wrong about that. So
I'm an athlete. Julio Rodriguez is an athlete. We're related.
That doesn't even make sense.
Why not?
But there's not even
That's
a similar...
That's offensive to Julio Rodriguez that you both are the
Cancel
same
Cancel Paul.
Thing.
He's my adopted son. What, I can't adopt a son?
So... We asked for you guys' opinions, and most of you, I think, agree with me, it seems like.
Whatever.
We're getting a lot of...
You guys just aren't progressive. It's 2022, okay? You're allowed to be polyamorous.
Let's read some of those mean tweets.
Oh, you want me to read some of them?
Let's read some of those mean tweets.
I mean, it was.
I love the mean tweets.
I feel like me having to read this again, is it overkill? I don't know. I can't say.
You know what?
What is happening? What is going on? Fine. I'll read a couple of them.
And
okay?
And the background is that your friend Mike tweeted out that there was somebody wearing a half Mariners, half Astros shirt. He didn't reveal that it was you,
right?
But he tweeted it out.
But my God, the comment section just got very, very aggressive.
I'm not a fan of bullying, but that might deserve an exception.
Mm-hmm.
We never condone throwing eggs at people, but this is getting pretty close to necessary.
Do you put the eggs in your pocket if you're bringing eggs to a ballpark? Like, how does that work?
I could stuff them somewhere. Proper reaction is a half high five, half sucker punch.
I mean, that's kind of funny outside of the assault, but, you know, fine.
This one's creative, actually. Punch the Astro side, kiss the Mariners side, because this came from a Mariners fan.
That's kind of hot. That is kind of hot. For some people. I'm not speaking for myself.
Some people would really enjoy
but
that.
But some people think that's hot.
Maybe
some
not people. Paul.
Yeah. The Drake of sports radio.
I mean, started from the bottom. Now I'm here.
Yeah, you should check out Paul's streaming numbers.
Last name ever. First name greatest. It's me, Drake. I was on Degrassi in a wheelchair.
Don't come back to Houston.
But I live here. I have a condo.
He's going to feed his cat.
Yeah. Poor little Arya, you know?
Paul, that shirt makes me want to throw up.
I mean, I thought it looked good. I thought it was a good looking shirt.
I will say this. The shirt itself, Sean and I agreed with this. The shirt itself was well done.
I thought in response to the don't come back to Houston, someone said, nah, he's yours. He's not allowed to stay here anymore. They're like arguing over, no, you have to keep him. Yours.
That is the best part. It's really the Pauly G magic is being able to somehow upset both the current place that he, or, you know, fans of the current team and fans of the former team.
I'm like Batman, really.
Like, you're trying to tip your hat to both, and they're both like, boo, you suck.
I'm the hero that Houston and Seattle deserve, but not the one that it needs right now.
That doesn't make the least bit of sense.
It's from Batman.
You're the one that we need.
I don't know how that saying goes, but you know what I was trying to do here, okay?
Yeah.
Guess what? I just unified Seattle and Houston. I brought them together. The two most different places in the United States of America. Pogolon, officially running for president 2024. You heard it here first. I can bring the left and the right together in
because
the middle.
They hate you?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that's electable, but...
No.
It's a start.
So Seattle and Houston are super different, huh?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend, though.
I drove
a boat, even though I've never driven a boat before. We rented somebody's boat, and I was like, yeah, I've driven a boat before. Nope, I had no idea what I was doing, but I figured it out. No accidents, nothing. It was great.
Was it hard?
It took a little bit of time to get used to it, but I think there's a reason that if you just get... I don't know what the rules are in Texas. I know in Florida, if you get your driver's license, you have a boating license. So you don't
really?
Even... Yeah, yeah. Florida, baby. Florida's the best.
It's incredibly disturbing.
The other funny thing, too, is on my Florida driver's license test, I actually failed it. I added up the score at the end, mm-hmm. and I did not pass. They failed me on two things. They said, make a K-turn. I was like, what the hell is that? It's a three-point turn. I tried to make a K, so...
Yeah, I would have done the same thing.
And then the other thing was, you have to drive 30 miles per hour in reverse. And I was like, why would you ever drive 30 miles per hour in reverse? Are you trying to escape a chainsaw killer? Like, why would you ever do that?
That is the most Florida, like, part of the driver's test ever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it would be sick if you just went 30 miles in reverse.
Right. No parallel parking, nothing like that. So,
none of the functional stuff, none of the hard stuff. Just
none.
Go fast backwards.
But it was a good weekend. And I mean, shoot, from the Astros perspective, Vanessa, to bring it back to the actual series itself, I mean, it was done immediately.
What did you notice, boots on the ground?
I felt like Seattle really thought the fans in the stadium really were finally optimistic for once, and they are a jaded, beaten down fan base. But as soon as I think people noticed Julio Rodriguez wasn't in, and then Jose Altuve hits a leadoff home run, and he had two leadoff home runs this weekend.
Right.
As soon as that happened in the first game, and then I think Yordan went deep a couple of batters later in the first inning, it got pretty quiet. There was one moment in the eighth inning where the bases got loaded, it got a little bit dicey, and then the Astros were able to get out of that situation. But I think this is... The Astros are so used to it. Remember when Lance McCullers responded to that person who tweeted Alex season or whatever from Seattle, who's someone I actually follow, like, hey, you want to be nasty, you want to be mean. Which, by the way, no one in the crowd was mean to me, even though I was wearing that half and half shirt.
So Seattle was peaceful?
Mostly peaceful.
It's kind of their brand.
Some would say, yes. Mostly peaceful.
Chill dog.
Yeah, exactly. I think that as soon as that happened, they just started thinking to themselves, oh, great, this is like the year that the Astros went 18-1 against Seattle again. They're just damn good right now. And
yeah.
I mean, everything is clicking, and they're not even, you know, 100% healthy. But when you have all those guys back out there, Pena's hitting again. Yordan has not missed a beat since missing those couple of weeks with the injury. They are, I feel like, pretty damn close to probably catching the New York Yankees soon. I think they're only a game and a half back now.
They are the team that people have said, whether it's MLB Network, whether it's talking heads like us, that have said, watch out for the Mariners, because they are on a hot streak. Julio Rodriguez is unbelievable. But this is why, in my opinion, and I'm not just saying this because I work in Houston, the Astros are the best team in baseball. Doubleheader against the Yankees, they beat them. They swept the Mariners. Now, I know the Dodgers are what they are. I'm excited to see how the Astros can do in the playoffs, and we know with playoffs, sometimes it just has to do with health more than anything. But this is why I think the Astros are the best team in baseball. I think they've really proven it in the last week or so.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, look, it's a long season, of course. But I think one of the cool things about how good the Astros are right now is that you can, and you should loudly say this around people that are fans of other teams, you can loudly say, man, I mean, it's kind of boring. It's kind of boring being better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Because that there's nothing that'll drive fans of another team crazy than
I
that.
I know. New England guy over here.
Yes. It's so good. It's so good to just be able to like cruise around and say, yeah, I mean, it's kind of boring the regular season. Like, when does the ALCS start? You know, the actual first round of the playoffs for us.
Did your opinion on the Astros change this weekend?
No, I mean...
You thought that they would sweep.
I thought they'd win 2 or 3. It changed on Thursday where I was like, oh, okay. They doubleheader beat the Yankees. The only question I really had was, okay, are they going to have enough depth in the bullpen to, you know, get them through this weekend? But when Julio Rodriguez was out, I was just like, yeah, there's no one on this Mariners lineup that can really challenge them outside of Ty France, I guess. it's not a very good lineup. They still have some young players that are in the minors. And I mean, I know you got Winker, who has been good in the past, and Eugenio Suarez as far as like big power guys. But for the most part, yeah, this is it's a lineup that is generally guys hitting in the 220 range. So, I mean, if you get a good pitcher on the mound for you on a given night, then, I mean, you're probably going to be in pretty damn good shape against the Mariners the way they're currently constructed.
Lance McCullers Jr., of course, had that double-A start with the Corpus Christi Hooks. Hope his recovery continues along as well. No word yet on Michael Brantley. That's a situation that I think we're probably not talking about enough, so maybe we'll get into that later this week. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Texans training camp on the way. Which NFL team are you most excited to see have a fresh start? By fresh start, either new head coach or new starting quarterback. Plus, Deshaun Watson reports to Browns camp. Josina gives us the latest.
Josina.
Or does she? That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along, guys. TGI Monday, TGIM, because we love our jobs here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And thank God it's almost football season. It seems so far away. But we have a couple of teams with new quarterbacks after a lot of quarterback shifts, whether you're talking about Russell Wilson or some of the other guys. We have a lot of teams with new head coaches. So which NFL team, as we approach training camp for all of these different teams, some report today, some later this week, which team are you excited to see have a fresh start? And for the intents and purposes of this conversation, I'm counting a fresh start as having either a new head coach or a new quarterback. I'm going to go with the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm excited to see what Josh McDaniel can do. I would not count myself as Josh McDaniel's biggest fan after the way he whiffed on the Indianapolis Colts, but I am excited to see what he can do with this team. Obviously, Devontae Adams is in there as well. We've talked a lot ad nauseum about the storyline of him and Derek Carr, but it will be interesting to see what they can do. So my fresh start team is the Las Vegas Raiders. Paul, which team is it for you?
The Raiders are definitely a good one. I'm curious as to what happens in Denver with a new head coach and Nathaniel Hackett and also a new quarterback in Russell Wilson.
Let's ride.
But yeah, that part of it, screw that fresh start. As soon as he said let's ride after another just obnoxious offseason featuring
Broncos country,
just the most corny stuff ever. And again, it's
Broncos
not like
country. Let's ride.
It's not like he's even a bad guy. He's just annoying as hell.
No, he's a great guy. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's why the worst part about it. I was like, damn it, I'm not supposed to dislike him, but I just, he's so fake. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Fresh starts across the NFL. I am curious to see, and this isn't really a fresh start, though. There are teams that need fresh starts. I think Dallas needs to do it with Mike McCarthy. It's kind of weird.
So you think they you want them to fire McCarthy?
Yeah, I think they should have already.
So they're not a fresh start, but Paul thinks they should have a fresh start.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of a cop out of an answer.
A little bit of a cop out.
They're
but
the stalest of starts.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing? You lose a game where you have like more penalties than you've ever had before, which is saying something if you're the Dallas Cowboys, and you lose on just an absolute boneheaded play by Dak Prescott, but also Mike McCarthy and allowing it to go down that way. I don't know, man. It's like, it's really hard. It's really hard for me to look at that situation and think to myself, oh, this should be a non-fresh start. The Raiders just stole it. Damn.
All right. Well, there's nine. Doug Peterson, Josh McDaniels, Kevin O'Connell, Nathaniel Hackett, Mike McDaniel, Matt Eberflus, Dennis Allen, and Lovie Smith, of course.
I mean, it's nice.
And that's not even getting into the quarterbacks.
It's nice that Lovie's here.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm expecting a whole lot more than what we've seen out of Lovie in the past. I feel like they will be better, so that's nice. But is this a fresh start, or is this just me settling into more of the same kind of mediocrity that I've seen from this franchise for 20
years? That's a good point, because I think the Raiders are a legitimate fresh start. The other team that I would say would be the Jags, because they have a Super Bowl winning guy that's good with quarterbacks and Doug Peterson. Sean, go ahead.
That's who I was going to say.
Is that yours? Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say the Jags, just because Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be this awesome quarterback, and he was an awesome quarterback at Clemson. There's really no reason he should fail, and then he had a very underwhelming rookie year, and I'm okay just pinning it almost entirely on Urban Meyer's shoulders and the shoulders and hands of the Jacksonville Jaguars receivers. And they go out, they get a well-respected coach, one who is going to be, at the very least, like not a complete jerk the entire time about everything.
Kicking the kicker, getting lap dances in Ohio,
And then they go out, and yes, they overpaid for Christian Kirk, but Christian Kirk is so much, is by far the best receiver that Trevor Lawrence is going to have on that roster. And how much they're paying him isn't Trevor Lawrence's fault.
It's a great point. His,
he doesn't have to worry about that. So I think that they could have a really big, you know, come up just by going from the worst situation to like just a pretty bad situation.
But that's the thing, though, is that really a fresh start? It's kind of like the Texans in that.
It's fresher than the team that you mentioned that brings back its head coach and quarterback.
True. That is true.
It at least abides by the rules of the game.
Fine. Rules of the game.
And it's exciting.
I got one then. And this is not going to happen this year, but this is the first inspired hire that the New York Giants have made as a head coach in a really long time. Because, I mean, they brought in Ben McAdoo. They brought in Pat Shurmur. They brought in Joe Judge, who was a joke from the start. Like, I thought it was funny how, I guess at one practice where they were doing either Oklahoma drills, like Judge got in the middle of it or something like that, and then they were all chanting, Judge, 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 because he's like this massive hardo. And I think that they actually might have kept him last year. And then he had this absolute meltdown of a press conference where he was like defending himself for a really long time, like gave this really long opening statement. This is then Brian Daboll, who was awesome working with Josh Allen over the last couple of years. This is the first time that they've hired somebody that's not just some boring retread or weird looking nobody. No offense to Ben McAdoo.
Okay, so that's
weird looking.
Yeah.
What? I mean, he wore baggy suits. He tried new haircuts, it seemed like, at every single press conference. It's an uninspiring hire for New York. I'm sorry.
So that's your fresh start.
Daboll.
We will see which fresh start works out the best and which one can go the furthest in the playoffs. The one about the one that I picked is that the AFC West is absolutely loaded, so we'll see what they're able to do. All right, Deshaun Watson is going to report to Browns training camp in the midst of what has been a contentious situation. Still no word from Judge, the Honorable Sue L. Robinson. We do have a report from
Josina. Sorry, it took me a second.
On Twitter, it's okay. After telling me early last week a decision was not expected in the Deshaun Watson proceedings last week, but still saying never say never as a tiny caveat, a league source says this morning, it's possible. Not saying anything else. That's all I got right now. Hashtag no guarantees. In other words, Josina is saying what every other reporter says, which is, could happen this week, could not.
When you read it aloud,
ridiculous.
I need to pause many times to break it down. Like, if you read it yourself, you see it with your eyes, you could eventually come to the conclusion, oh, she said nothing. But if you hear it, like if someone spoke that aloud to you, you would probably nod your head and say, oh, okay. And it's funny because maybe that's her subtly just throwing a spell on everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody that she is reporting to. Yeah, this is new, I think. Yeah, sure. Gosh. She has been something else on this entire saga. I am enjoying it. I'm not going to lie. It's like, I'm told, here is something that's not new at all. Like that's the formula. Part A, I'm told. Part B,
but then part C is always, but it could not happen.
Yes.
So it's like it's the automatic CYA.
It's like you mentioned it. It's what all the other reporters are saying. I would actually disagree that the reporters aren't saying that because it is nothing.
This is
not an update. So Ian Rappaport is not updating you on when there is no update. She's the only one that's like, anything could happen. Stay tuned. I've been told.
Am I the only one, though, that I do think people are catching on? Because I don't see anybody retweeting this or anybody giving it any love. I think that, like, after a couple of months, people have been like, all right, everything is a nothing burger.
Yeah, not even, like, Bleacher Report is like, retweeting it with a graphic.
The only people that want the retweet of Josina right now are the people that are Browns fans that are in denial and are hoping that there is going to be something that's out there that allows this to spin zone things to themselves. But yes, Josina is just continuously going up and saying, what is happening? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. One thing could happen. Another thing could happen. Josina Anderson, CBS Sports.
I love your reporter voice.
Also, yeah. The NFL, like, weren't they supposed to have it done by like the week after the 4th of July?
Yes. Oh.
And then it was supposed to be before training camp starts, and then, like, just still nothing.
And then the latest report was that it could be during training camp. Well, yeah, I would assume so, right?
Yeah,
like, if it's not before.
Unless it's in the next couple hours, yeah.
The bottom line is that I think there's some behind-the-scenes conversations between Dave Pasch, Roger Goodell, David Mulugeta, all of the players involved in this with Sue L. Robinson. Yes, it's supposed to be this really official lawyer-ish process. But then again, you're really not hearing any rumblings from it. So who knows what's happening in that regard. I'm interested to see how many games he gets. But at this point, there is nothing that would surprise me. If they said a year, I'd be like, all right. If they said two games, I'd say, oh, okay.
I really wish this was being handled by baseball. Because it would be so messy. I mean, it is kind of messy right now, mainly because of all the rumors. But baseball probably wouldn't come to an agreement on a suspension until like week three of the season and just throw like a giant wrench in the plans of the Browns, which actually might be funnier than what ultimately happens, where the Browns just like, oh, yeah, we don't have a quarterback for the first 8 weeks. It would be pretty funny to think we got away with it. All right. And then week three, Goodell comes out of nowhere, suspended. And then that's it. I kind of want that. I want the Browns to like have a sliver of hope,
and then just
that this
him.
Year might be fun.
Yeah, or they. So is the no? It's in. Dang, the first game is in Carolina, but they could just have a full like no news, whatever, and then just out of a podium, out of the ground, Roger Goodell goes up and he's like, "I announce Sean Watson has suspended," and then however many games.
Hell yeah!
Just right there on the spot, he
hologram like, Goodell.
Deshaun goes through warm-ups, he comes out, introduces to the crowd, and then boom.
The only guarantee is that it will be controversial either way. I can promise you that. Between the women's groups, between the people that are pro Deshaun, between the people that think that he's been unfairly scrutinized compared to owners, which is not a terrible point, it's going to be controversial. And we'll be covering it all on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Hell yeah.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a little Celtics news for our Boston sports fan, allegedly,
I
over
saw.
Here.
Mm.
Where could KD be going? That's
I
next.
Also heard that allegedly.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Adrian Wojnarowski with the NBA Heat and the NBA News, as always. He tweeted at 1:31 a.m., ESPN sources, as Brooklyn Nets star Kevin Durant's trade request approaches its fourth week, the Boston Celtics have emerged among teams engaged in talks on a possible deal. Now, Paul, even though I'm the one wearing the Larry Bird Celtics shirt, you're the actual New England sports fan, allegedly. What are your thoughts on Kevin Durant possibly going to the Celtics?
Well, from the sound of things, the Celtics made that offer. Derek White, a draft pick, and Jaylen Brown for Durant. And the Nets said that they want Brown, Marcus Smart, who just won Defensive Player of the Year, draft picks, and one more rotational player. That's too much for what Durant is at this point in his career, which is not to say Durant's still one of the best players in the game, but I think if you're the Celtics, the thing that you had last year as a strength was your depth. Now, if it is something where you're just essentially trading young Jaylen Brown for Durant, that does make sense, but I would say this again. If you go back and you watch those finals, who was the guy that was stepping up every single game? Was it Jason Tatum or was it Jaylen Brown? Wasn't even close. Jaylen Brown, he was ready for that stage. I suppose Tatum could one day be ready for that stage, but there's a good chance that maybe he's not. Maybe he is another playoff kind of James Harden.
He didn't show it in the finals.
No, he was so inconsistent, Vanessa, back and forth. And it was throughout the playoffs, too, where Jaylen Brown was the most consistent guy. So, look, I would have loved to see Kevin Durant on the Celtics a couple of years ago when he ultimately signed with Golden State. I remember there was like a sliver of a chance that Durant maybe would potentially join Boston. But That's a steep asking price. Jaylen Brown for Durant, though, would be a damn fair trade, I think. I would be cautious as far as not like accepting it, mainly because I don't want to give up Jaylen Brown because I like him as much. But if you did have Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum, that is a pretty good pairing.
Do you think Brad Stevens even entertains this?
The one that Brooklyn was proposing, no. I think they're going to hope that they can maybe meet somewhere in the middle. But if they have to give up two of their key guys, if they have to give up Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, then what's the point? You want to be one of the deeper teams in basketball. The Celtics do have that luxury. I think as far as starting lineups go, when they're 100%, because the Warriors aren't really the same team top to bottom that they were. Like, Klay Thompson's not the same Klay Thompson. Draymond Green's not the same Draymond Green. I think that Boston does have, at the very least, that going for them. But next time that they go up against a Milwaukee who's going to be fully healthy with a Chris Middleton, they're going to need somebody who is more consistent than, I think, Jason Tatum. Getting rid of Jaylen Brown to get that guy is interesting because now you're just potentially getting an older version of, well, check that. You're getting one of the best players in basketball, but how good is that player still? I think it's the sort of same question that anybody that might be interested in LeBron James, Vanessa, trading for him right now, that's the question you have to ask yourself. He's still a damn good player, but is he a destroyer of worlds on a level that he was 3-4 years ago? I don't think you could say that anymore, especially after the injuries.
Reminds me of any conversation with J.J. Watt, too, that we continuously had when he was searching for a new team. Jaylen Brown tweeting, by the way, three letters, SMH. Yeah, I'd be shaking my head, too, because to your point, he was so dominant for that team. But we'll see what happens. We will also see what happens with Charles Barkley and the LIV Golf Tour. Now, I've been vocal about this. Our friends at Barrett Sports Media wrote an article on me saying this. I truly believe this could be posturing for a better deal for TNT. And I think that that theory has some legs. So Charles Barkley was on the Dan Patrick Show. We don't have time to pull the audio because this happened like half an hour ago. I'm sure we'll play some of this tomorrow. But he admitted to Dan Patrick that he makes around $20 million a year. Patrick asks if LIV triples the salary, will Charles Barkley go to LIV? Charles Barkley said yes. He then told Dan Patrick, his deadline for working or not working with the LIV Tour is this Thursday. Quote, I'm not going to keep TNT in limbo. That's not fair to them. When I leave the Pro-Am on Thursday, if I don't have an offer in hand, it's over.
And are we talking from TNT?
The offer? From LIV.
No, okay. From LIV. Okay. If I don't have an offer coming from LIV, yeah.
Okay. This is interesting. Look, we're seeing all the money that's being thrown out for broadcasters these days, and it's definitely a different story, NBA versus the NFL, as far as eyeballs and everything like that. All I'm saying is, if we're talking about on a per-night basis, who is the most valuable broadcaster in sports, there's no debating it's Charles Barkley. Even if Charles Barkley isn't informing you, Charles Barkley can bring it on a what? How many nights a year is inside the NBA? Because there's like two, it's like on Tuesday and Thursday.
But he only does Thursdays.
Yeah.
That's true.
They have the B team on the...
That's true. Right. You're right about that. Okay. But then he does the entire playoffs too.
Yeah, but it's still like probably, I don't know, like 30, 40 weeks
He's
out of
one of the
year.
Only broadcasters that you will watch a broadcast for.
Yes, because there's unpredictable. It's not like all these other pregame shows, which are boring with a bunch of chuckleheads laughing at each other, you know? I feel like if we are talking about valuable sports broadcasters, Charles Barkley should be number one.
Yeah, he's the best part of the best show.
If we were paying them all based on the sports across America being equal, you know, football, basketball, etc., as far as actual interest, Barkley should be number one. So TNT should pony it up. How are they going to replace him? Will Inside the NBA be anywhere close to the same show that it's been without Charles Barkley? The answer is no. Shaq can't carry that on his own. Kenny Smith and EJ are, I think, like the nice straight men for that show, but you need to have the wild card that kind of just throws everything all over the place because that's where that show is best. They improvise and they're random, and without Charles, they're not. So
they had the
pay them.
2 minute, 2.5 minute debate on gas prices. I don't know if you guys saw that, where they were trying to figure out if it was the same to load up $20 worth of gas twice a week or $40 once a week or whatever. And they went on about this. Shaq and Charles argued about this for, what, 3 minutes?
Yes. Shaq brought it up as like a money-saving tip.
Instead of
filling up to $80 full every time, once, just fill up to half.
Right. And so they went back and forth about gas prices. And it was the best television I've seen because you have Kenny that's just like sitting there laughing. And, I mean, it was perfect.
Shaq is Charles Barkley's punching bag on that show.
Right.
I mean, Charles gets Shaq mad, and Shaq responds. who else is going to have the balls to go after Shaq, too, on that front? Shaq will not be as entertaining a character on that show if he's not the guy that's constantly getting bullied by somebody who has never won a title, which is really funny.
And to use Charles' own parlance, because like you said, I think Charles is really what makes the show, and Shaq is good when he's with Charles. So are you saying that Shaq isn't a bus driver on TV? He's a passenger.
Ooh,
and Charles
yes.
is the bus driver
Charles is the...
of the inside the NBA.
Shaq would, like, say this was a AM drive morning show. I mean, Shaq would essentially be the intern that everyone makes fun of.
Right.
I'm not wrong. It's funny because he's the one with the best resume of all those guys in their NBA career.
Shaq would be the intern.
I think he fully embraces it. XFL, quick mention, 8 cities for the league's relaunch in February of 2023. Now, this had been reported, by the way, but it wasn't made official by the XFL until this weekend. The 8 cities, Arlington, Houston, Las Vegas, Orlando, San Antonio, Seattle, St. Louis, and Washington, D.C.
I like that you called it Arlington.
Owned by the... It says Arlington.
Are they not going to be... It's not going to be Dallas? It's going to be Arlington?
It is Arlington.
I think they're playing in the old base, the old Rangers.
They are, and the headquarters are in Arlington for the whole thing.
Wow. But it's funny that they're not calling themselves Dallas. That seems like a gross misstep by Dallas, even though all of the stuff is located in Arlington.
Yep. So are you going to wear a half Houston, half Seattle XFL jersey is the real question.
No.
No?
No.
Well, why does he say no like it's ridiculous for me to ask that?
There's only one team in Seattle. I would not do that with the Seahawks Texans one. I wouldn't do that. No.
So you would... He's being dead serious now. It's not ridiculous for me to ask that.
So can we dig in on what the difference is? So,
what's the difference?
Mariners fans liked me. I got along with Mariners fans. Seahawks fans got annoyed with me because they thought that they knew more about football than me, which is wrong because I grew up a Patriots fan. I know more than everybody just by default.
God, I hate you.
I'm not wrong, though. Anyway, I would not do that with the Seahawks. I did it with the Mariners. That's
the
it.
The arrogance.
It's not arrogance. It's the
Patriots. You think you know more than most people about football because you grew up a Patriots fan.
Yes, exactly. Played in the NFL or watched the New England Patriots. Who do you want to hear from?
Same thing. Okay,
I mean, it is the same thing. So I was a part of that dynasty, Vanessa.
So there will not be a split XFL Roughnecks, and then I don't even remember Seattle's XFL team name.
Oh, they were the Dragons. They were awful. I did the
Dragons is a cool name, though.
So here's something funny. I went to the Dragons game that was right before everything shut down, and we found out through the grapevine that one of the people who was giving out food at the Dragons game had COVID. And that was like supposed to be kept on the DL. But like this person knew they had COVID and came into work.
Not good.
And it's like a super spreader event. So they were just giving out COVID to everybody. And then everything shut down. And I remember that like we had found out that someone was working there that had COVID. And they're like, keep it on the DL. And I was like, oh, this is kind of juicy.
Those,
I don't know.
Those like the week before and the week after everything got shut down was like the wildest times ever.
It was also just like, where did you get it from? In hindsight, we were all trying to figure out when it's like there was literally no way of knowing.
Yeah, and it's everywhere. So everyone was getting it from everyone.
It's nuts.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a new streaming service that is confusing the hell out of me. Plus,
uncertain.
A funny moment from Buck Showalter. Wash your hands, save lives. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, there's a lot of things that make me feel old because I have an old soul. Anything technology and app related does that. The NFL media announced that they're going to launch, that NFL Plus has launched today. It's an app. You can get it for $5 a month, whatever.
So they brought it back. Okay, interesting.
So it's live, local, and primetime regular season and postseason games on mobile and tablet. Live out-of-market preseason games across all devices. Premium version includes features of product formerly known as NFL Game Pass. You can also watch film and breakdowns of film. And I guess each team will have some local content as well. But it's just the wording. I'll have to have it in my hands before I understand it. Live, local, and primetime regular season and post, but on mobile and tablet, but not on your TV, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
So Game Pass was what a lot of people that all of a sudden became online film junkies wanted you to see their work. So that's the thing that would people would post online. And some people know what they're talking about. Other people don't, where they post the all 22 film and say like, yeah, I know about football because X, Y, and Z, which was always interesting to me. So that's going to be part of it. I wonder, Vanessa, if it's going to be like what the old app that they had was, because there used to be like an NFL Now app. And the cool thing about it was that they actually had NFL Films Library. So you could go through like the entire NFL yes. Films Library and watch, like, say, I want to watch the 1978 Oilers season in review video. And you could go and find it. And they had it. And I thought it was cool. And you didn't have to pay anything for it either. But I guess no one used it. So now this is them just doing what literally everyone is doing. There are too many bleeping streaming apps.
NFL Network shows and the NFL Films Archive. So you can now
Oh, it will have it. Okay.
It will have it.
See, I'm one of the few people then that it's actually like, hell yes, sign me up. Because you couldn't find it for 5 years right. after the fact. And I wanted to do this thing where I would go back. Like, I've been thinking about this for a while. How do I watch old Houston Oilers stuff?
There you go.
And just do like little recaps of it. That'd be fun.
My favorite thing is that at what meeting did we decide that every app had to be the name of the company plus?
It's a great
Disney
point.
Plus,
ESPN plus,
CNN plus,
RIP.
But then you have poor one out. But then you have a Paramount
plus.
Which was
yeah, it's Paramount plus now. Yeah.
Wait, so I thought that was CBS's streaming.
Yes. Paramount owns CBS.
No way.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Okay.
It took me a while to figure out too, because one time I was trying to stream a football game on CBS,
HBO
and it took me
Plus.
2 hours to figure out. Oh, it's on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Oh, HBO Max. Now.
Oh, HBO Max.
Yeah, I respect that because they're like everyone's Plus. And we're the
we're Max.
Max.
They also
can't top it.
They also had HBO Now and HBO Go, which were all different somehow.
Yeah. At one point, there's like three different HBO apps.
It's honestly been interesting to see how this has developed, because remember Fox had Fox Sports Go, and then I don't think anything came from that. And then CNN Plus breaking after not only a month, but after several on-air personalities from the other major networks left their jobs and did this big dramatic career change launch, and then CNN was like, never mind.
Someone twitched in Discovery Plus. Okay.
Oh, I didn't know Discovery Plus was a thing. Disney Plus.
I think it's a part of Disney Plus.
Somebody find out?
No, that's National Geographic.
If you have children at home, please look up if the Aristocats is on Disney Plus.
Why?
Because that's my favorite Disney movie. And
really?
If it's on there, I'll get it, yeah.
Really?
I love the Aristocats.
Well, what you should do is bundle.
Everybody wants to be a cat. Nope.
It's not even my favorite movie, and I like cats.
Yeah, you do like cats. All right, Buck Showalter was being interviewed by Buster Olney, and Buster Olney decided for whatever reason to ask him about soccer, and the audio from it is what I consider audio gold.
Manager Buck Showalter, so you know how soccer players have one-word names, like Messi?
Okay.
You've heard those, okay? Your left fielder.
Soccer? I don't think so.
Soccer? I don't think so. You also have to look up this video on Twitter to get the full effect of just Buck Showalter looking at him like, why are you asking me about soccer?
He was trying to make a point.
He was, and I get it. I respect it, but
it is kind of funny to see just someone trying to give a little bit of added context to a question with a no-nonsense coach, and the coach is just like, shut up. Get
right.
to the point immediately. Like, whether it's Greg Popovich or it's
Bill
Showalter
Belichick.
There, Belichick. I know in the past it's happened to me with O'Brien. Like,
it has happened to you with Bill O'Brien.
It's really funny. I remember one time I set up a question by saying, obviously this is Captain Hindsight, and O'Brien's like, well, you're always living in
you
the hindsight.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world. Oh, wow,
quick on the draw there.
Oh, funny. All right, it is time for our segment of which we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Why don't you start with your boating experience? Because this is
an interesting
story, and I would like to hear about it.
So, I was in Seattle this weekend, wore a half Astros, half Mariners shirt to the game on Friday. Saturday, I went on a boat with friends. So I have a Washington State Boaters Education card. I passed a course. And on Saturday, we decided we're going to go out on a boat. I thought for sure that somebody else would be able to, you know, drive the boat, because I've never actually driven the boat before. But no, I was the only person that was technically allowed to drive the boat. So I drove the boat from start to finish, despite never having driven a boat before. And trying to BS my way with the person that rented the boat to us and say, like, yeah, I know, it's been a little while.
And they believed
me. I'm a little rusty. Oh, yeah, they believe me.
Hook, line, and sinker,
they
baby.
Believe me. And I'll say this. I can't believe it. Driving a boat, look, it's not like it's easy or anything like that. But by the time I figured it out, the most difficult thing that I was thinking about as I was driving back to the marina that we took it out of was, okay, what's it going to be like parking this thing? Because that's the tricky thing, is to like actually pull it up parallel and to get it to the side.
You probably did better than I would.
I got it in one try.
And it
took like 2 minutes. I was shocked. I was like, how? I'm actually good at this? Because I'm a terrible driver with a car.
I can't believe you were sober enough to drive the boat. Never mind.
I did pace myself.
Don't incriminate yourself.
Yeah,
Paul.
Nope.
I did it. You're already.
As soon as it came out of my mouth, yeah, I was like,
"You're what? Already saying that I barely knew how to drive this boat, and I was driving up and down."
Well, people do it with golf carts all the time. Golf carts, boats, same thing. I'm just kidding. I'm not. The whole time, I remember thinking to myself,
"Kids, stay off drugs."
I wrote this. I had like 9 pages of handwritten notes that I had taken while I was doing the online course to go get my learner's permit or whatever. And when I was done, I remember the one thing that stuck out to me the most was that you're 3 times as drunk on a boat as you are off a boat. So with that in mind, I made sure I only had 2 drinks the whole time.
Oh.
I actually did behave.
I'm actually very impressed by that.
Wait, what's the science on that?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's what they said.
Is it like airplane? Like when you're in airplanes, you're...
No idea.
Hmm. Or is it because like
I'm guessing it's with the waves. But yeah, because I remember that vividly. It said that like 6 different times. I think they were just basically trying to make you think like, do not drink in boat. I think that's like, they were just trying to get that in, like subtly into your mind.
In Moscow, at the Moscow Open, a robot broke a 7-year-old boy's finger during the chess match. The video shared on social media shows the robot taking one of the boy's pieces. The boy then makes his own move and the robot grabs his finger and breaks it. The statement from the Chess Federation president said, "This is, of course, bad."
That's my favorite part when I saw this story last night, Vanessa. "This is, of course, bad." Oh, who would have thought? Look, if you're a 7-year-old child and playing chess, maybe you should have more than just the threat of the sadness of defeat when you're playing chess. To really get good as a chess player, and this took place
build
in Russia,
character.
Right? Yeah, build a little character by having robots break your fingers.
Yikes.
You'll never lose again after that.
When he plays chess against other 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, he has to have the biggest street cred ever.
Absolutely.
He's the only one that like got assaulted while playing chess, probably
the
ever,
robot
by a robot.
Broke my finger, and I continued on like the BA 7-year-old
that I am.
It's
the first strike, guys. It's the first strike.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to kill us all.
That 7-year-old Russian boy is on the front lines on the war against robots.
He is that's probably the first example of robot on man crime, right?
Shot heard around the world.
Look.
Snap heard around.
They're all going to kill us or replace us. You heard it here first. That we are going to get killed or replaced by robots.
I don't know that
it's
first.
If not both.
It starts with Russian boys' pinky fingers, yeah.
Yep.
And then next,
works
the
its
world.
Way up to
that
radio hosts.
There's the Boston Massacre.
That wear schmediums.
Come on.
Klay Thompson was at a Dodgers game to watch his brother Trace and slammed a beer. It went viral. Big deal or no big deal, Klay Thompson slamming a beer, having a little summer fun.
Well, he's known to be on a boat, to and from practice to his house, so... Hopefully he didn't hop on a boat anytime afterwards, because as we all know, him slamming one beer is like him slamming three beers.
Right.
It's like three, yeah. Damn. Klay Thompson, absolute tank, that's for sure.
Klay Thompson got that dog in him.
You know who doesn't have that dog in him?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers is like, I don't chug beer.
I don't drink beer.
I only have scotch at the side of the game.
I go on cleanses.
Do we
know how it's going with his witch girlfriend?
Great
do you remember
question.
The witch girlfriend? We need
yeah,
to do more
do.
Research on the witch girlfriend.
Yeah, I kind of want to go back through her Instagram again for
because,
research purposes.
Yeah, because she had 2 things that you really liked.
What are those?
The witch girlfriend was interesting. Her name wasn't her name Blue?
Blue of
yeah,
Earth.
It was
Blue
ridiculous.
Of Earth. Okay, low-key, I watched one of her videos about being the shaman of her own, whatever, of your own experience, where you're your own healer. I kind of liked some of the things that she said. Am I a hippie now? I don't know.
Yes. You are.
But no real update. There's
cursory,
no real update.
Cursory Google search. Nothing really to report.
Maybe he's not over Shailene yet.
I think they're still together.
He and Blue of
Earth. Blue
of Earth,
yes.
Yeah.
Did she officially change her name to Blue of Earth?
No, that's her real name.
I mean, maybe it's her stage name. I don't know.
Could be her stage name.
You think she does astrology?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
Do you do astrology?
I think she
looks down on astrology.
I don't believe in astrology.
Yeah, that does sound like her.
I know that I'm an Aries.
I'm an Aries, too. We're all Aries.
Are you really?
I think we're an Aries show.
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, you're a Taurus?
Wait, how?
Because I'm late.
I thought Aries was 23rd. All April. Okay. Well, now you know the rest of the story.
That's why Paul and I are so much alike.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's why I aren't alike. What?
All right, guys.
Good grammar
to end
the
show.
I like that.
Good grammar to end the show. Up next, you have Jeremy Branham. Josh Beard, I believe, is in for Joel Blank, the Killer Bees, from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.